Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Amen.
Hello and welcome back to the weekend edition of Let the Bible Speak. And my name is Pastor Paul Backhurst, and I am your host for the weekend edition of this program. It's good to have you back as we continue with our series on the foundations, and the foundations that we see in the first chapters of the first book of the Bible, that is the book of Genesis, the first book of Moses, as it's also called. Now we're continuing with our look at Creation Week at the moment, and that Creation Week is a real week, a week of 24-hour days. Well, if we want to be very specific, probably 23 hours, 56 minutes and 4 seconds. But let's just presume that is exactly the same length of day as it is now. For it has an evening and it has a morning and there's a first day, etc. And we believe that this is, no doubt, a historical record. There's nothing in the Hebrew at all that would suggest that this is anything but an historical record. And the latest research proves that this is not Hebrew poetry in the slightest. This is straight down, simple prose, historical record. And in fact, the Westminster Confession of Faith believes, and this is what we subscribe to, in chapter 4 on creation, in that first article, it says, It pleased God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness, in the beginning, to create or make of nothing the world, and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. And that is, of course, based upon the witness of Scripture itself. So we do not place the confessional standards above Scripture. They are substandards. They merely bring together all those points that the Bible points to with regards to creation, or marriage, or the church, or whatever it might be that we are to believe. And so now we're looking at the second day of creation, and specifically the expansion of the firmament, the growing out from the earth of what will ultimately become outer space, the heavens that we can see, as opposed to the spiritual heavens that were created at the beginning of the very first day. And so we're going to look at that now. And the title of the message is The Expansion of Creation. And we'll see in this first part of the weekend edition, the firmament's function, examining something of what this firmament is. And then secondly, we'll examine the firmament's formation, how the scriptures show, and not just in Genesis 1, but also in other places, how it is formed. And so at the top of the program, you've heard the scriptures themselves read out to you from Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, and read out by my son Calvin. And now we will go and hear the first part of this message entitled The Expansion of Creation.
Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
So we've been examining for a few weeks now Genesis 1, the book of beginnings. The book of Generations, it's all that idea what the book of Genesis is. I haven't spent time to really introduce the book. We've sort of dived straight in to what we see. I may do that at some point. But what we see is that the earth and spiritual heavens are created on day one.
And it is from that beginning that we see then the Lord working out. And we encounter the earth. What is the earth? Well, it's dark. We have the earth. We see the earth is covered in a deep layer. Massive depth of water is above it. Deep is the word that's used there. And deeper than the deepest sea, because the seas that we have, well, that is the waters that are left behind on the earth. But we're going too quickly when we consider day two. So we have the earth. We have a large amount of water upon the earth. We have a layer of darkness upon that, upon the waters. And then God creating light out of darkness and then separating the light from the darkness. And so the first day of creation, it draws to a close. It doesn't draw to a close with a sunset or with birds singing. Well, that is not yet the case. The Lord has determined that there is a day. It's because the Lord determines a day that there was already a 24-hour day in existence. You'll forgive me, I'm not saying 23 hours, 59 minutes, and was it 4 seconds? Just let's keep it easy to 24 hours. But the 24-hour day is part of how the Lord has created. So although there's no sun yet to have a relationship with the earth as regarding time, God has determined time from the beginning, very beginning. In fact, He made time. He says it in the beginning of time, the beginning of matter, the beginning of space, it's here. And yet the future home for God's people is far from ready. Foundations have been put in. The Lord's going to deal with, well, you could say He's going to deal with the plumbing. He's done some of the work on the electrics, as it were. But there's still much work to be done, and the Lord is doing this, and He's going to do it in a glorious manner, in a wonderful manner. When we consider what the Lord does in creation, what we build, flimsy houses of cards in comparison with what the Lord has created and sustains. So the future home is not ready. I suppose you might have the only creature that might be able to exist at the moment on the earth as we have it there at the end of day one is maybe some sort of deep sea fish that can live without light and warmth and definitely without food for a few days. So it's far from ready. There's no home for the birds. There's no home for the beasts. There's no home for the sun or the moon. There's no home for us yet. God has much more to create. He has much room to be made. And so that really, when we're looking at day two, we're seeing an extension, we're seeing expansion of creation, which with the Lord's help is the title of the message this evening, the expansion of creation. And we see there, therefore, and just to remind those, not to remind those, to inform those who may not have been listening, and we've seen this repeatedly, the Lord begins the day in darkness. The first day is in darkness. And so the introduction to the darkness is the evening. So we are now in the evening. There's the introduction to the time of darkness, the night. And then we have the morning, which introduces the time of light. So we have darkness and light, which is what we actually saw happening on the first day. There was darkness, and then God created light. So we have the night, and we have the day. And that is the way that the Jews also took over that system of having their day starting after sunset. When the sun had set, the next day began. So you might understand, therefore, a little bit more of the Sabbath regulations and what happens around the time of the Lord's crucifixion. He must be taken down from the cross while it was still late afternoon, before it was sunset, because the Sabbath began, let's just say, 6 o'clock in the evening. Hence the urgency, lest they despoil and profane the Sabbath. That was the idea by the Jews. So we have the evening and the morning. We have that order. And that's why it's repeated again and again throughout Genesis chapter 1. Just so we'd understand, to make it really simple, even for the most intelligent of 21st century scientists, that they might understand, but they won't, that there is a day, a 24-hour day that has an evening, has a morning, there's one day, then there's the next day. But we're not getting into that at the moment. But just to help you understand where we are. So we're now in the second day. The sun, as it were, could have set if it had been made. And we see the Lord creating something. And He says here, and in verse 6, He says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." And we see, firstly, the firmament's function. That's the word firmament. And the first thing that the firmament does, and we're going to look at it a little bit more closely, this firmament, it creates space. As God ordained time on the first day, by creating time itself and creating an order of time, dark then light, day, night. And He named those periods, the light as day and the darkness night. The Lord now ordains space in all its understandings, room, space to live upon the earth, because there is no space to live upon the earth. I mean, I don't know how many miles or how many millions of miles of water there is on top of the earth at this time, but there needs to be space to live upon the earth. And if there's no space, then you'll never be able to separate the waters from the ground and let the earth appear, and then day three won't be able to happen. There'll be no plants. If there's no plants, then there's no food, etc. Space to live upon the earth. Space for the sky itself. Therefore, space for the heavenly bodies. or space for the birds to fly in, and then space for the heavenly bodies above that, for them to be created in. So space. Do you like breathing? I do. And this is what we need. This is what the Lord knows is a foundational thing. Again, a fundament of what we're looking at. And this is, air is essential to life, and there's no air on the earth at the moment until the Lord creates a firmament. And so the Lord of life, he prepares on day two the very air that we breathe. And he grants us every breath anyway. But here he is giving us the air that we need and making it. He's making that world livable. And it's wonderful to consider that Christ is here so active at work in creating. We know that God created all things through him. And he who breathed his last on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins, now creates the very first breath for our future lungs. Besides space for life on earth, the firmament also forms a great structure. It is a structure. It's part of the structure of what we will see. It provides and it makes and forms what you might call a matrix. When I use that word, I'm not referring to any film. I'm referring to the idea of a structure, a superstructure. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let me just explain what the word firmament means. When we consider the word firmament, it's straight from the Latin translation of the Bible. And it only really gives us half the meaning of what that word is. But you can hear the word firm in there. So it's something solid. Yeah, that's the idea of it. But if you have, depending on your edition of the Bible, but the translators of the Authorized Version also give another translation for this word. And you'll see it there if you look at verse 6. It's referred to firmament, and it says in the Hebrew, meaning expansion. So it's something solid, but it's something that expands, which seems quite contradictory. But it's not. It's a word that was used by the Hebrews for the beating out of metal. So you have a piece of metal and you beat it out and you make a sheet of metal out of this lump of metal. So it's expanding, but it's solid. Yeah, it's not air, it's not gas in that way, as we would consider solid. In fact, if you think of a goldsmith, when a goldsmith gets a lump of gold and he beats it out and beats and beats and beats and creates the thinnest of sheets from a lump of gold, you could cover Calgary. It's beaten so finely into such thin sheets. And I think that describes the idea even more. But it is a word that was used concerning the beating out of metal. And so when we consider the idea of outer space, when we consider the space, we think it's see-through. And you have the expression, the vacuum of space. And in some ways that's correct. In other ways it's wrong. Because what we can't see is the massive structure that's out there. If the structure was there and it was visible, we wouldn't see any of the stars, wouldn't see anything else of the heavenly bodies that are out there, because that would be visible. It's invisible to our eyes. But it's not empty except for the stars and whatever heavenly bodies there are. It's not empty. It's not full of nothingness, but it's interconnected. Now, trust me, this is true. This is as we understand, even the astrophysicists would call the firmament this. And if you know anything about astronomy, then you'll say, oh, that's right. The intergalactic medium, or intergalactic filament. And what we don't see, these huge structures that join galaxies, join suns, join all these things together. If you can imagine a sponge, so you cut through a sponge and you see all that structure, that is what it looks like when you look at the universe with different telescopes, and I can look at things that we can't see with the visible eye, and yet they can see this and they can map it and they can try to understand it. And embedded in there, in this firmament, are the heavenly bodies of the stars of heaven. And it's unfortunate that the firmament is not naked to the naked eye, but if you look online, if you go and to various scientific websites, and they can show you understandings and models of how it must look. It's not visible. And it's an amazing thing. I'm not even going to go into any of the details, but essentially it's all made up of this hydrogen, almost all made up of hydrogen, hydrogen ions. It's plasma. That's as technical as I'm going to get. But essentially it's all hydrogen, hydrogen. And so that's what it is. It is a structure. It is a massive structure. And the Lord is going to get it ready for the fourth day especially. But even for the third day, even for the beginning of the third day, it's needed to be in place. The firmament's function. But when we see the firmament's formation, and that's what we see here in verse 7, and God made the firmament. So he decreed that it would be done. And when God decrees anything, it is done. There's an important lesson for you to learn. When the Lord speaks it out, he says, this is what I'm going to do, and he does it. From the very first page of Scripture, God's making promises, as it were, and he keeps them. Let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. He says there's going to be a division. Separate the waters from the waters. What happens? There is a division. God says you call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. God always keeps his promise. The idea of lying or breaking a promise, of saying something and not meaning, is absolutely foreign to a holy God. To us, it's second nature, but that's why we're so different from the Lord. That's why we're in such trouble before the Lord. But we see now the firmament's formation. We see that it's a manufactured firmament, a manufactured firmament. Not made by man, that means made by hand. Manufactured. Why do I say that? Because when we see that the Lord made heaven and earth, and we saw that Him creating light, we understood that He made it out of nothing. The Lord spoke and it stood. It hadn't existed before, and that's why we have that word, again, just repeating what's been said. In the Hebrew, there's a word to create, and it's only used of God or by God about the work of God of creating things out of nothing. It didn't exist before. When we use the word create in English, we're using it in a quite sloppy way. We think, well, you know, oh, that's a lovely creation as you look at grandma's knitted jumper. It's nice, it's good, but it wasn't created out of nothing. It was created out of wool or polyester, whatever. And so we don't create out of nothing, but the Lord creates out of nothing. But notice here that when He says that the Lord, when He decrees that it should be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and He goes on to make it, this is the first time in the scriptures here that we see that the Lord makes something. He creates something, but now He makes something. What's the difference? I'm not just playing with words. No, this particular word, make, it's making something from something. Something that the Lord has already created, He's going to make. A manufacturing of something from pre-existing material. So He's making the firmament from stuff He's already made. And what would that be? Well, He's got the earth, we have the water, we have the darkness, we have the light. But I would suggest to you, it would appear that the firmament is made, formed from the water itself. It's from the very water that's upon the earth that the Lord makes the firmament. It's made in the water, because it is to separate the waters. There is the water to be left on the earth, and it's supposed to, and to expand away from it, and there is to be another portion of water that's with the expanses going above heavenwards. It's almost as if the waters are taking a huge breath and suddenly filling their lungs. As though that idea, and separating the two masses of water from here. Here a very small mass upon the earth, and here a very large mass, which is depleting as the firmament is being built, because it's being built out of the water. Who remembers chemistry from school, or science from school? I'm sure you've all done your best to forget it, maybe? I don't know. Water is made up of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. Oxygen we breathe, hydrogen we don't. But what we see is the Lord, in that division, what does He do? He makes an oxygen-rich environment upon the earth, so we even breathe. And then what does He do with the hydrogen atoms? Well, He probably leaves a few on the earth anyway. We need that. But many more of them, it would appear, are released and used to create this great firmament, this great network, this intergalactic medium, these filaments that the scientists talk of. And so from the very water itself, we have breath and we have structure. It's a manufactured filament, but it is a massive filament. And this is really what we're looking at. He's building a twofold firmament within the waters. As I said, close to the earth, what do we have? We have the Lord as the waters are receding from away from the earth. As that water that's left upon the earth, there's a layer of water there. The land is not yet visible. It hasn't been a division of water and land. But as He's drawing away, there's now air. In fact, it's an atmosphere. In fact, it's what we call the sky. And what the Lord calls us in verse 20, He calls it the open firmament of heaven. The open firmament of heaven. So there are two firmaments that the Lord is making. The open firmament of heaven that we would call the atmosphere, that we would eventually call the sky. And then He continues above that with this expansion. The expansion of this solid material, solid enough to hold galaxies in place. The first firmament then and a second firmament. And yet this massive structure is as yet empty, because the Lord is yet to fill it. And He will fill it. He'll begin to fill it on day four. But it's expanding upwards and outwards. And as it's expanding, what is it doing? It's forcing the other waters upwards. And no doubt it's using up the waters as it's going up. Because as I said, it's very much almost completely, I think 98% made of hydrogen ions. And so it then would appear as the firmament is expanding, as the expanse is expanding, that there's a layer of water on the outside. I mean, however much is used, I don't know. It might be at the very limit, at the very height. It might be one molecule thick. I have no idea. Hence understand why there must be a depth of water upon the earth to then take this structure into its fairest limits. And what's on the other side of that water then? Well, it's the darkness that we mentioned. There's a layer of darkness upon the water. What's on the other side of that darkness? Well, it's the created light, and it's the angelic heaven of the heavens from day one. Psalm 148 and verse 4 says this. It says, "Praise Him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." So that obscure verse from the Psalm seems to describe very clearly what we understand. If the water's there, then there's an expanse to push out the water. Well, there is still water above. And that's why we have the expression that Paul refers to in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, and he's actually speaking of himself, but he says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven. So the sky is the first heaven, the firmament of heaven, the universe is the second heaven, and then the third heaven is God's throne and the angels. How long did this expansion last? Well, it lasted the whole day. If you see, day two only consists of the firmament, of the expansion. That's all that happens on the second day. And I presume the Lord started as soon as it was the second day, in the evening. And so throughout the whole evening, it's expanding. Most of that 24 hours then, the Lord decreed it and the Lord made it, and it's happening, expanding. And I would suggest that it carried on at least to the fourth day. Why? That there would be enough room for the Lord to create these suns and the stars and the moon. In fact, the scientists say that the universe is still expanding, even this day. And it's interesting that the Bible pointed to that very truth 3,000 years ago. When speaking of Christ as the creator in heaven and as the savior on earth and as the future judge of all the people, in Job 9 and verses 6 to 8, he says this, "Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea." The heavens are referred to in the scriptures as being spread out, as expanding. Even the image of a curtain, of the curtains of a tent are used a couple of times in scriptures to talk about the expanse being expanded. Psalm 104 verse 2, "Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment." Well, we've considered the light of heaven. "Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain." It is also possible, just considering the logic of what we understand, if now that water, that weight of water has been drawn away from the earth, that if the earth is in any way a globe, or the earth in any way moves and spins, that all that weight would be lifted off, and it could move according to that system. But we now have time to live in, and we now have space to live on. So we've had the firmament's function and the firmament's formation, but we then have the firmament's further lessons.
Now I'd like to play Only a Moment by Al Smith.
When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him. By the print of the nails in His hand, oh, the soul thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye, how my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white. He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. I shall know him, yes, I'll know. And redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast ministry of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, and I trust that the Lord has blessed you by his word, and we invite you back to listen to the second part of this message, and that is on Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Now, if you do have any questions or queries regarding the faith, regarding the Reformed doctrines that we believe and teach, in understanding what the gospel is or who Christ is for a sinner in need of forgiveness, or general queries about what the Bible teaches, or would be interested in getting your own copy of the scriptures, and that would be in the authorized version, the King James Version, of course, then please do get in touch with me. You can write me a letter and address it to Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. Our address is 123123 Pinetown Place, Northeast, that's in Calgary, Alberta, T1Y5J1. Or you could ring me up on the office number, and the office number is 403-285-5050. Or you may email me on pastor@calgaryfpc.ca. Or you can always get in touch via our website, which is www.calgaryfpc.ca. And that's also where you can find the archive of our Let the Bible Speak weekend edition programs, as well as links to other sermons and other ministries and information about who we are. That's wonderful to rejoice with you that the churches are open, at least to double the capacity that we were allowed to up until very recently, 30% fire code. And therefore, we will be pleased to welcome you to join us at Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. We hold three services at the moment. We have the 11 a.m. morning worship. We have a 2:30 afternoon service, which is for only mask wearing, and we do not sing at that service. And then we have a second evening service, a different sermon, a different time of worship, and that starts at 6 p.m. On Tuesday evenings, we have our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting, and you would be very welcome to join us. And so it only remains for me to wish you God's richest blessings to you and your family, in Christ's name. Amen.